Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Scan a Resume, Part 3. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How do I scan a resume? What do I look for on a resume? How do I decide whom to phone interview? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Thanks to I Done This for sponsoring today's show. Need help in tracking your team's status and encouraging their productivity? I Done This is a simple, lightweight management tool that allows your whole team to share their daily status updates and keep everyone on track. I Done This improves accountability and keeps the team engaged with all their teamwork's work. Harvard Business Review has found that tracking the progress you make every day leads to happier employees through the science of small wins. Get your team in sync by signing up for a free 14-day trial at idonethis.com/manager. Thanks again to I Done This for sponsoring today's show. Okay, Wendy, well, so far in this series, we've looked at titles, right? How to look at those on resumes, dates, companies, career progression, and what to look for there. And today we're going to talk about what to look for when evaluating responsibilities on a resume.
Exactly. So after the job titles, the next piece of information you get usually is the responsibilities or a job description. And it's pretty important because it tells you a lot of things about it. And it's not just the words that are in there, but what is included and what's left out and how it relates to the other jobs and the job titles and so on. The most important thing on the resume is the accomplishments. And everything else is, you know, everything's important, which means, of course, nothing's important, but everything is important. But the responsibilities really tell you a lot before you get to the accomplishments. So that's why we're going to concentrate on them today.
Right. Well, and usually it makes up the majority of the resume, right, in terms of number of words.
Yeah, that's true. And the reason, of course, is because everybody has responsibilities and they're easy to look for. Yeah, you can look up your job description or your performance review or an ad that your company is making for a similar job, and there's a list of responsibilities. And they're pretty benign. There's nothing about a responsibility that really tells you about the person that's doing the job, you know, if you're not putting it in context and put it with a lot of other information.
To the person who's creating the resume, that, you know, responsibilities are, they're the low-hanging fruit, right? They're the easiest to find, right? It's easy to write. And if you're trying to fill up a page with words, not the best way to approach your resume, but if you're trying to do that, which a lot of people are, resumes are easy to find. And so you find a lot of them on the page.
That's right. People are willing to copy and paste them and make them quite long because they don't see that there is a lot that can be told from them.
Yeah. So okay. So they're useful, right? It's mm-hmm. useful to know what the responsibilities are, and it's necessary. You know, probably even necessary for you to know that. But there are huge problems with scanning a resume for responsibilities. Why don't you tell us about some of those problems?
Yeah. So the first thing you see a lot is candidates making bullets from their responsibilities, and effective resumes have bullets that are reserved for accomplishments. So there's a difference between what you were supposed to be doing and what you were actually doing. One is the responsibilities, the job description, and one is the accomplishments. And so what happens if people don't have a lot of accomplishments, they tend to make bullets of their responsibility. And so it looks like their responsibility is an accomplishment when it's not. So you have to be a little careful when you're looking at bullets to see whether they're responsibilities or accomplishments. And if you are a good resume screener, if you've had some practice at this, you will quickly be able to see the difference, and you can be almost certain that someone who has done that does not have good performance. And it's borderline unethical. You know, it's not necessarily that they're lying, but they're not telling the whole truth either. Even if you've been fired, you still have the same responsibilities as someone else, right? If you're an accountant and you've been fired for stealing money, you still have the same responsibilities as an accountant who was a star performer. So that part of your resume will look the same.
That's right. So, and that's the problem, because resumes are fairly low in terms of what we expect to see in accomplishments, right? And so they fill it up with responsibilities. And like you just said, the responsibilities across a broad spectrum of people with varying degrees of success in those roles are exactly the same, right? Yeah. And so the problem is it's just low. It's low content in terms of in terms of helping the manager or the interviewer decide whether to move forward or not. I mean, that's the problem. Now, again, accomplishments, you know, seeing accomplishments in the context of what the responsibilities are would be very important. If you had a bunch of accomplishments that had nothing whatsoever to do with the responsibilities in the job, that would be problematic, right? So anyways,
that's pretty common too.
Oh, that's pretty common. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that bit in a minute. But yeah, that's the, if you see a resume that has big chunks of responsibilities and either no accomplishments or very few accomplishments and very few quantified accomplishments, that's probably a resume that you don't want to phone screen the person because you're wasting your time.
Right. It's interesting. Some people, what they actually do is they take their responsibilities and bulletize them, make them as bullets versus a descriptive paragraph, which kind of leads one to believe, sort of from the form of it, imply that they are in fact accomplishments, but they are not, right?
Yeah, there's a difference between a bullet that says lead team of four analysts to create annual reports and a bullet that says created 14 annual reports and the board signed all of them off with no changes, right? The one is an accomplishment. There's something that happened. There was a business benefit and there was a standard and you met it. And one is just a description of doing something. It doesn't even say whether or not you actually did it. It's just a description of doing something. And it certainly doesn't say whether or not you did it well.
That's right. And so, you know, when you're scanning resumes, you have to become very astute at recognizing the difference between a bullet that is simply a description of what they're supposed to do, their responsibility, versus an accomplishment. And frankly, people will often mix the two, right? They'll take, you know, a long list of things, some of which are actually accomplishments, some of them are responsibilities and responsibilities only. And if you're an astute scanner of resumes, you're gonna know the difference.
So assuming that you've separated out all of those resumes that don't have any accomplishments or where the responsibilities are written as accomplishments and you've decided no to all of those, which we would recommend, you now have a pile of resumes with both responsibilities and accomplishments. And then the next thing you have to do is work out whether the responsibilities are commensurate or equal to or what you would expect from the role or the title that you can see above it. So if you see something that says store manager, you would expect to see responsibilities like manage the team, manage the store, but have a budget, you know, hit sales targets, those kind of things. And if you don't, that tells you something. We'll talk about that in a minute. So that's what you're trying to do, match up the responsibilities with the job title. We kind of assume that if we see a job title, we can work out what the responsibilities would have been. We assume that there is an equivalence between job titles. And if we've had experience with people with those job titles, we assume that we know what they were doing. And that's not always true. As we talked about before, titles have a variance, a big variance between companies, between industries. Just one odd company may completely, you know, has a chief mirth officer instead of someone in HR. And you have to read the responsibilities because otherwise you can make assumptions about the job titles, which aren't true.
Right, that makes sense.
I pulled out some examples. So here's an example. This is responsibilities which aren't what you expect from the job title. So the job title was security consultant, which in my head is bodyguard. That was my immediate thought. But actually, it says the responsibilities say design, implement, and manage networking and security solutions on time and on budget for small to enterprise customers, coached and managed IT forensics and security operations teams. Well, that's not a bodyguard, right? That's an IT security expert.
Right. And given my IT background, that's what I assumed it meant. Right. Okay.
Yeah. But then it could have equally been a bodyguard, right?
So, exactly.
Here's another one that said the title was consultant, and then the description was business analyst for a retail operation, responsible for requirements gathering and delivering required project documentation. That to me is a business analyst. It's not a consultant. And this person may have been working in his company, and then the company has consultancy gigs, and so he's part of that team, but it's still not a consultant. So you may have read the resume and seen business analyst, consultant, senior consultant, and the career path isn't what you think it is, because that consultant role is not such a big step from the business analyst role as the titles would have you assume.
Yeah, so obviously you have to read the responsibilities and understand them and not make too many assumptions based on the title, right?
That's right. And one of the things that we assume when we make that assumption is we make the assumption that we know what the job title means, and then we don't look at the responsibilities, and then we assume experience. And you can't assume experience just because someone has a job title and you think you know what that is. You're building assumptions on assumptions. And so by the time you get to actually thinking about what you think they have done, you're probably wrong, let alone what you think they've done well.
Well, and of course, experience isn't the job someone has had, right? You can't look at the list of the jobs somebody has had and assume some kind of experience. And frankly, it isn't even the responsibilities that they've had, right? Experience is the accomplishments that they've achieved in those roles.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you take the job title as a broad brush equivalency for experience, you'll miss the situations where the responsibilities diverge from your assumptions. And sometimes you do that in the candidate's favor, and sometimes you do it to their detriment, and sometimes you end up interviewing someone that you wouldn't normally have interviewed and they turn out to be good, but 99 times out of 100, it works out poorly.
Yeah, exactly.
So for each job, you need to look at the job title. So before, when we looked at job titles, we were looking at progression and making sure that people had the kind of job titles that we would expect from someone in the role that we're recruiting for. But now we're looking at the job titles more specifically and in relation to the responsibilities. So assuming it's a job title that you have some knowledge about, which if you are managing a team or hiring for a team, you should have some. Most people come with similar experience, and so you probably do have some knowledge about the job title. Think about what that means to you in terms of experience. So that consultant, to me, that means working with the customer, working with the client, creating plans, you know, working with them through managing the relationship, creating more sales, those kind of things. That's not what a business analyst does. So you think about those things, and then you think about someone you know who's really good at that job, because you don't want someone who can just do the job. You want someone who's really good at it. And the way you find people that are good at it is you have to work out what makes people good at it first. And the best way to do that is think about someone you know who's really good at it. So if you know a really good consultant who has amazing client management skills, and that's the thing that makes them successful, then you might look for client management skills in the resume and probe for it in the interviews. Then you can compare that sense of what you have about what that person would have been doing and what would signal to you that they were doing it well. And then you compare that to the responsibilities that the candidate has listed. And I just made that sound really long, but literally you can do it in 3 seconds flat. You know, your brain works fast enough. You can do this quickly. I'm just making it sound long by explaining it.
So you compare them. So what you're trying to determine is, does the job title and the responsibilities they've listed make sense? Is that the, and then, yeah. And what if they don't? I mean, what if there's a disconnect between what you think the job title means, right, and the responsibilities that are listed? Is the assumption then that they don't know what they're talking about, or are you simply just reevaluating what the job title means in sense of, oh, here, if these are the responsibilities, based on my experience in my head, this is the title I would give that. And the question is, does that job title and those responsibilities match what I'm looking for or not? I mean, let's say they don't make sense. What are you getting to?
So you have the job title and the responsibilities, you compare them together, and they either fit your expectation or they don't fit your expectation. If they fit your expectation, that's fine. You can carry on with the assessment of the resume, which is all the steps we still have to get to. If they don't fit, then you have to ask yourself, does this person have the experience I need? Is the fact that I picked out their resume because I saw the job title consultant, and the fact that they were actually doing a business analyst role, does that mean that they don't have enough experience for the job that I want?
What you're saying, I think, if I get it right, is that most managers or HR, whatever, would pick out a resume and kind of put them in the pile to look at, to scan, based upon a quick glance at the job titles, right? You look through the titles, the progression, you go like, okay, that's somebody worth spending some time looking at the resume, right? Mm-hmm. And then one of the steps then there is to validate that, in fact, the responsibilities match that title. I mean, if you selected the resumes based upon the job titles, then you're validating that the job responsibilities match your expectation of the job title. That's what you're trying to solve.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people don't have the job, the responsibilities that you expected in that job, but later jobs, they've had that experience that you were looking for. It's not an automatic no. It's a, I need to think about this more.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think a lot of managers also make a lot of assumptions in folks when interviewing. The best thing is to not make a lot of assumptions. Big mistake they make is that when they're interviewing, they assume that a job title or a role or, you know, some experience means that that work that they did works elsewhere, right? Where we work is the same thing as everywhere else. And that is not true, right? Company size, company growth, the quality of the organization, the manager they work for, the technology, you know, all those things play a role in what a responsibility actually is and, frankly, what it means.
Exactly. A long time ago, we asked for people to send their resumes so we could use them as examples in casts. And so I went through the list. And one of the ones I found was a job title, a guy whose job title was initially manager of an IT project management office. And then the next job he had was manager of an IT program and project delivery. And depending on where you are, those two things are very similar. They could be equivalent roles, but when you actually look at his responsibilities in the IT PMO role, he had a $17 million budget, and in the program and project delivery role, he had a $55 million budget. So there is a big difference between the size of those two roles and how hard that guy is working and what skills he needs and all of those things. You would not see that immediately from the job titles. And it's probably because the companies were very different. You know, if you're in a huge company, an IT PMO is maybe like just like one project or two projects. In a much smaller company, a program director can be 20 projects if they're all smaller. But you can't really tell, and you have to look at the responsibilities. And in this one, it was the budgets that gave it away, that he had experience that weren't borne out by the job titles.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. I think, you know, in general, another example is when we hire managers, right? And mm-hmm. a lot of us mistakenly assume that manager roles across different organizations and industries, et cetera, are quite similar, mm-hmm. but they're not, right? Some managers have 3 directs, some have 15, right? Some have 30, some have to manage contractors, some don't. And there's a difference between managing employees and contractors, right? If you've done it, if it's required in the role that you're hiring for, it's important to know whether a person has managed contractors before. Some have to manage across multiple shifts. Some don't. I've never had to do that, thank God, except when I was in the Army. That's a very, very different animal. Some managers write performance reviews. Some don't. It's mind-boggling to me that some managers don't write performance reviews. But in fact, that is true. Some managers have a budget. Some managers don't have a budget. Again, mind-boggling to me that organizations don't push down budget responsibility down as far as possible. Most of my management life, I was in organizations where managers had budgets at a fairly low level. And I found, you know, in our consulting practice, is often not true. Many organizations don't get budget responsibility until they're a vice president. And then they have a $150 million budget. They've never managed a budget before. And now they're managing a $150 million budget and have no idea what to do. Folks, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Some managers have clearly defined internal customers. Some don't. Some managers have clearly defined goals. Some don't. Some managers are required to create formal performance development plans. Some managers have never had to do that. Some managers manage projects. Some don't, right? Some managers have to manage distant directs, people who are remote from you. Some don't and never have. So again, if you went through that list, you go like, oh yeah, those are all different. And a lot of us in our heads, we think of a manager, we think of some set of those do's and don'ts, right? Some mm-hmm. we have the set of responsibilities that we read into the role of manager. And again, they can be very different. I picked manager, but pick any job and you go through a similar list that they're all different. So when you're going through a resume, each job, ask yourself whether the responsibilities fit the title. And then ask whether or not the responsibilities are sufficient for that role relative to the role that you are looking for.
I have an example of a manager one, which I pulled. So this guy is category and marketing manager, which doesn't to me sound like a big job. It sounds like a maybe first line or maybe second line manager job. And then the description says, owned the entire North American business and product development for all categories relating to this brand. Worked closely with the global central marketing team to ensure all product gaps were met. Developed international relationships, including client personnel and internal product teams from 4 countries outside the USA. Full P&L and sales responsibilities.
Okay.
Like, there you go. That okay. to me is not a manager role.
That's right.
You know, and if you've picked his, if what you have is a first line manager role or a second line manager role and you pick him out, he's going to be way over your budget because his experience is way more than you need. It's like buying, you know, an SUV when there's only you. You don't need all that power. And so, you know, manager can go any which way, but, you know, that's an example of, wow, I would never have called that a manager role.
Yeah, I wish you would give me that SUV example about the single guy and the SUV about a year or so ago. That would have been helpful. Thanks for being late again. I think the other thing is you can look at job titles. Like, people look for career progression relative to job titles, which can be straightforward. If it says, you know, individual contributor, then, you know, manager one, manager two, et cetera, developer one, developer two. But again, as we've, I think, demonstrated, is the responsibilities, looking at the responsibilities and understanding whether or not there are an increase in their responsibility is important. For example, a developer one and a developer two in many, many organizations turns out to be simply a mechanism for managing pay. And somebody can have the exact same responsibilities and be a developer one and then have the same exact responsibilities as a developer two or a developer three. They're simply just getting paid for the experience or the length of time they've been in the company or in the role, et cetera. And they might be better as a one or a three, but is that the kind of growth in responsibilities that you're looking for? Yeah, they got a growth in job titles, but are they really growing in terms of job responsibilities? Maybe not.
I would also think if somebody had been made into a developer two because of pay or whatever, I would also wonder, has that person been interviewing and then coming back and saying, hey, I got a better offer? So that they've increased their pay without actually increasing their performance. That would make me wonder.
Yeah. So you want, you know, good candidate would have increasing responsibilities with any job in addition to moving through higher levels of responsibilities in different jobs. And, you know, and frankly, increasing levels of responsibility in each job is especially important in someone whose role is, let's say, relatively stable, right? Mm-hmm. A flat career relative to role without increasing responsibility within that role suggests that this is someone who won't change and who won't develop. And that might be fine, but probably not.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily a concern that at some point a candidate took a step backwards in responsibility. It could be because they moved to a bigger company. It could be a career setback. It could be because they needed to lighten their burden because of family issues or something else. And it may be a reason to rule them out, and it may not. But again, you need to consider it in the light of all the information you have. It's hard to do this cast because there's really no black and white yes and no's. It really depends on a lot of other information.
Right.
So one more resume I wanted to share. I'm going to start from this person's earliest role, and you can see how career progression works or doesn't. So the first job was cold calling operator, then list calling, then sales assessor stroke team leader, director, marketing manager, and then sales assistant. It's kind of all over the place of like getting more senior and then going back and then having a really big role and then having a really not big role. And you can't necessarily rule that person out, right? They may have the experience that you need. They may be in the place that you need them to be in terms of what they want to be doing and how much effort they want to put into it. If you read those job titles, though, and the only thing in your mind was there has to be increasing progression, you would probably rule them out. And sometimes you'll miss out on good candidates because you do that. So as we go through this list of things that you look for in a resume, although we're going through the list sequentially and we're talking about ruling people in and out in those specific areas, you're also building a picture. You're not necessarily going through it sequentially. You're building a picture of a person and then comparing that to the person that you need.
That's right. And you're doing that as you're scanning the resume, obviously, to see whether they're a fit or not. And then you're going to build out on that image you have of this individual during the interviewing process, right? So now you have a good view of a good feel for what their job titles, their career progression, the responsibilities. And we're going to talk about accomplishments next week. But you're going to have this picture of what the individual is. And then when you bring them in for interviews or you do the phone interview, you're going to continue to then probe into those things that you know about the person. And again, validate whether or not there are chinks in that armor or problems that might arise. So I think that's it for this week. That was good, Wendy. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
On to accomplishments next week. My favorite part.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Thanks, folks.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.